Today we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. Today we'll begin chapter 4. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to open up thy very words. Father, we pray you'd bless our study as we continue our journey through the book of Ephesians. We pray that you'd bless the listener. We pray this study would strengthen us, Lord, in the things of thee, Father. And Father, we pray that you'd bless your word as it goes out, and as you promised that it would not return void. And we pray and we ask all of this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we begin in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read down together verses 1 through 6. And we could entitle our study today, these six verses of Ephesians chapter 4, A Worthy Walk. So let's turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. And beginning in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul tells us in this passage to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Then that would imply that each of us has a God-called vocation. You see, there's something that God wants us to do. And you can tell from the context that it has to do with the body of Christ. In other words, we have a function in the body. Something that we can do that contributes to the growth of the body of Christ. Now, to walk worthy of this vocation means to make sure you live your life so that it is worth the calling. Now, that word worthy means deserving, such as merits, possessing worth of excellence of quality, suitable, having qualities suited to. And if you look at the use of the word worthy in the Bible, it has that meaning. Let's look at a few examples where it's used. First, if you would with me, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verse 6. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. We read in Deuteronomy 17, verse 6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. So we see here in the Old Testament that there had to be two or three witnesses for someone to be who was worthy of death, first degree murder, to be put to death. And again, worthy, deserving of being put to death, amen. Now also, let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, we read, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So here we see Hannah, her husband, because he loved her, that she was deserving of a worthy portion. Amen. Now, so Paul gives you some things you need to do in order to work worthy of your vocation. Obviously, you would have to first find out what that vocation is to which you are called. Now, there are many vocations to which people are called, is there not? Musician, preacher, teacher, helper, soul winner, encourager, minister, worker. What is that God wants you to do for Him? Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, we read this: As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See? So we're to use the gift, amen, the vocation that He has called us to minister to one another in the body of Christ. Amen? Now, one way to find out is to just find a place to start doing something to help. Amen? And God reveals His will to those who are doing what they can today. You see, the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to do what you are supposed to do today. Then once you know what it is you are supposed to be doing, follow these simple rules. And we'll look at them just a moment. So the thing is, you start out and you find a place where you can be a blessing. Be it in a local church, a ministry, you know, wherever it is. And then God will really guide you and direct you and show you. But you've got to step out in faith. You just can't sit at home waiting for God to call you on the phone and say, this is what I want you to do. You step out in faith. Amen. Start working. Be in somewhere you can be a blessing. And He'll guide and direct you. But once you've found that, what you're supposed to be doing for Him in the body of Christ, then you need to follow these simple rules which Paul gives us here in our passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, how are we to walk in our vocation? First of all, we turn your attention to verse 2 in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, with all lowliness. Lowliness. In other words, that is, you don't do what you want to do for self-esteem, for recognition. Amen? I remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus said, because again, this is a quality of Him, lowliness in His ministry. He said that He didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister to others and give Himself a ransom for all. You see, you and I are unprofitable servants. Notice what it says in the words of God about an unprofitable servant. Turn to Luke 17 and we'll look at verse 10 there. Luke 17, verse number 10. In Luke 17, verse 10, we read this: So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, for we have done that which was our duty to do. So once you find what God wants you to do for Him, amen, and you do what you're supposed to be doing, you're not doing it for self-recognition or for self-esteem, because you're an unprofitable servant. You're doing what you've been called to do. Amen. See? So just do the job that God has called you to do, and don't draw attention to yourself or away from somebody else. You see, people get a feeling of self-importance, like this ministry couldn't function if it weren't for me. Now be honest. Have you had this attitude? Amen? That wherever you are serving, that ministry couldn't function if it weren't for you. See, It's just an honor and a privilege to serve God. Amen. But when you get that attitude, God can take you out and replace you with someone else. So when you walk in the vocation that God has called you to, you need to do it, as Paul says, in lowliness. And that's the example of our Lord and Savior. That's how he walked worthy in what he was called to do the will of the Father. Amen. He didn't do it for recognition, for self-esteem. Amen. Now, the second way our rules that we're to walk worthy of our vocation is meekness. And we see that if you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 2 again, it says, with all lowliness, and we've looked at that, in meekness. You know, often your calling may involve things like we see stated in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. Let's turn there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 24 to 26, we read this, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So often, your calling may involve things like where you have to rebuke someone or admonish and reprove them. But see, the whole key is to do it with meekness, not with pride and arrogance or haughtiness in a condescending attitude. In fact, turn to Galatians chapter 6, in verse number 1, with me, Galatians 6, in verse number 1, and notice what the Apostle Paul says there in regards to all of this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit, here it is, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So the attitude is, that could be you. Amen. You could be in that position. You could have been overtaken in a fault. So it's only by the grace of God that you're not. So when you're dealing with that individual, do it with meekness. Amen. Not weakness. Be firm, but do it. Amen. Speak the truth in love, as the Word of God says. So, when you have to rebuke someone, admonish or reprove, do it not with a pride, an attitude of pride or arrogancy or haughtiness or condescending attitude. Because remember, only by the grace of God, you could be that individual that needs to be restored. Now, as we're looking at once we find out the vocation that God has called us to, we're looking at some simple rules to walk worthy of that vocation. So far, we've seen we're to walk in lowliness, meekness. Now, look also in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4. We see a third rule. With all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering. Long-suffering. That's one thing Christians, a lot of Christians, are not long-suffering, and we should be. See, we are in this work for the long haul. So you might as well get used to the idea that things are not always going to work out the way that you think they should. And people are going to take a lot longer to come around to the truth than you think they should. So what are we to do? Just hang in there and put up with all the difficulties of working with other people in the body of Christ. Remember, Jesus certainly had to put up with a lot from his disciples while he was preparing them for ministering in his stead. And it was worth the wait, amen? So we see now another rule that we're to follow is once we find out that the vocation that the Lord has called us to, and how we're to walk worthy of that vocation. If we're to walk worthy of that vocation, then that walk has to be long-suffering. Long-suffering. Let's look at another rule. Again, verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 of 4, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And notice there's a comma. And then verse 2 begins, and we saw with all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering. And here's the fourth one. Forbearance, forbearing one another in love. Forbearance. Forbearance. Forbearance in love because we are to love the brethren. Are we not? Now, forbearance means you just let something go without saying a word about it. You see, you put up with the faults and don't react to straighten out every little detail that you think isn't right. Just put up with it. Let it go. Because that individual is there accountable to God, and God will deal with them about it in time. And even this shall be revealed unto you. Amen. Forbearance. So, again, long-suffering and forbearance, a lot of us fail at that as Christians. But if we're to walk worthy of the vocation to which the Lord has called us to, then we're to, as it says, forbearing one another in love. Now also, we're to endeavor some things. It says, endeavoring in verse 3 of Ephesians 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. See? Now we are in the same body. As the Word of God says, many members in one body, the body of Christ. And God is a divider in everything in the world. But when it comes to his body, he wants unity. But guess who doesn't want unity in the body of Christ? The devil doesn't want it. See? The devil wants unity in everything in the world, and he wants division in the body of Christ, because he knows that if he can divide the body, that he can destroy the work. You see, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Amen? So we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're to work together in the body of Christ. See, we're all different. We all have our faults. Amen. Some of us are easier to love than others. See? But we're commanded to keep the unity of the Spirit. And let me just say one thing. Not at the cost of allowing sin to continue in the body of Christ. Amen? When you say to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, amen, that means also to be on, everybody be on the same page when it comes to the Scriptures. Amen. And some would say, well, anything goes in the church for the sake of keeping the unity of spirit. But if there's sin in the church, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God, so it has to be dealt with in a scriptural way. And the scripture talks about how to deal with sin in the body of Christ and give the individual an opportunity to get right. Amen. But all the other little petty stuff, we need to let go. We need to forbear. We need to be long-suffering. You know, people get their backs up about the color of the carpeting in the church. Amen. The type of pews. Amen. Those things are petty things. Those things need to go, because they don't matter. Now, so we see that as we're looking at a worthy walk, how to walk worthy of the vocation that God has called you to, we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and also the bond of peace. Look at verse 3 again. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in, it says, the bond of peace. See, as much as lieth within you, live peacefully with all men. There is a variation between us in the loss, but there ought to be peace between us as brethren. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 133, verse 1. Psalm 133, verse 1, we read this. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. There's an exclamation point after that verse to stress how important that is. Amen. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It was pertinent back then when it was penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's pertinent today. Very important to dwell together in unity with the brethren, is it not? So, it's good and pleasant for brethren to dwell in unity, but we cannot live in unity, even in the body of Christ, when there is division over the following. The body, number one. Because we read in verse 4 of Ephesians 4, there is one body. See? There is only one, the body of Christ. And it is the literal resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the throne into which we are baptized when we get saved. Amen? That's right. See, the body of Christ, the church. So it cannot be the Eucharist. That's not the body of Christ. And it cannot be ecumenical. Because the Word of God clearly tells us that the body, amen, is one. Is a resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one body spoken about here. There is one body in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 4. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. Also, there can't be division over the Spirit. Again in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit. Now, there are certainly evil spirits that work among the brethren. Amen. We saw that in the early church in Acts 5, where Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. You know, they sold some property and they gave and they brought it to the apostles, and they said, you know, that all the money they got from the property they given to the church, and of course they held some back. And the problem wasn't that they held some back, they could have. The problem was that they lied about it. And that's an evil spirit, the devil. Devil's evil spirits working among the brethren, amen? You know, gifts of the Spirit are misinterpreted, causing strife in division. Amen. See? People get caught up in the tongue, the gifts of tongues, which, if you read the scriptures, have ceased. The sign gifts are not here. Amen. They were used in the establishing of the church for the Jews. The Jews require a sign. Amen. But they've gone. Now we have the Word of God. Amen. See? So they're an earthly, sensual, devilish spirit has crept in. Doctrines of devils, seducing spirits have infiltrated. Amen. And we're already beginning to see strong delusion in the church, in the body. You know, it never ceases to amaze me to see churches that once were strong, Bible-believing churches, King James Bible churches, falling away because of these evil spirits working among the brethren. How they creep in through the music program. Amen. How many churches are getting away from the traditional music, the God-honoring hymns, to bring in this very fleshly, contemporary music, amen, that they call Christian, and it's not. So we have to, as we see, that we can't have division over the one body, the one spirit, and also the hope of your calling. There is one body, one spirit, as you call, in the one hope of your calling. This has to do with the resurrection, according to Paul. So we love his appearing. Amen. Do we not? We love his appearing. We look for the blessed hope. In fact, the Word of God in Romans 8:24 says we are saved by hope. In religion, the hope is that those who faithfully practice its dogma and rituals will have life after death. They have no hope, by contrast. See? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, we read that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. By contrast, we have eternal life as a present possession now. Amen. See? Also, there can't be division over the one Lord. Our Lord is plainly Jesus Christ. However, some pastors lord it over our God's heritage. Amen. The Catholic Church has the Pope. The Jehovah's Witnesses have the Watchtower. The Mormons have their prophet. Islam has their imams. But we have one Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then there can't be division over the faith. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, as in faith in the words of God that saves you and grows you, not faith as in religious practice. Faith is the big topic today, but is it a word used to demonstrate the works of the flesh or to make a profit off of people? Amen. And then we have the one baptism. Speaking of spirit baptism. The moment, the instant you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're baptized into the body of Christ. This is not baptismal regeneration, for instance. Many false religions profess that water baptism saves you when it doesn't. And then finally, there can be no division over the one true God, Not Allah, for instance, not the God of Judaism that causes a Jew to reject Jesus Christ. Our God is one in three persons. That concludes our lesson today. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.